Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
I probably did the most strenuous, stressful thing, physically demanding thing that I've ever done in my life yesterday. So I'm a guy that works out every single day. All right. So we can take that right off the table. All right. I challenge myself.
Every day?
I take one day off a week.
Only six, one? Yeah. 6 days?
Yeah. Look at this temple, man. Needs maintenance. I've done yoga also. Very, very strenuous at times, especially as I proved to you guys in studio this morning. I'm not real flexible.
Nope.
Also, way back in the day, before I was even living in Georgia, I did an inline skating marathon from Athens to Atlanta.
I can't believe you signed up for that.
It was for a team in training, Leukemia Society. It's a fundraiser. I skated from Athens to Atlanta up until yesterday. That is the most stressful thing and the most strenuous thing I have ever done. There's a new thing, and I'm not sure anybody in here can relate to it. I went to go get my eyes checked yesterday, and I started getting trained for contact lenses. Have you guys ever put in and taken out contact lenses before?
I have not.
Oh, my God. You talk about the most stressful, strenuous thing I have ever done. First of all, I don't like anybody freaking messing with my eyes at all, right? And the way that there is sort of, and everybody's a little bit different on how to get a contact lens in and out of your eye. I was in there. Thank God for my doctor who was so patient with me yesterday, and she went into overtime because I was there late. I could not get that thing in. I could not get that thing out. I still don't know exactly how to lift my upper lid and then pull down my lower lid and then get the contact lens in and then stick my finger in my eyeball and then squeeze the soft lens to get it out. I still have no idea how to do it.
Do you think she went home to her significant other and she was like, you will not believe I had the patient I had today?
Well, and I do think that she's a P1 also. I think I remember her telling me in the past, but I was hoping one of you guys in here would have had to go through that process. Before, because I said to her about midway, I'm like, you know what? I don't think we should do this because I know myself and I'm never going to be patient enough every single morning to put contact lenses in and out. And she said, she was like a little coach. Aww. She was a contact lens coach. You're doing great, sweetie. Nah, there are a lot of people that come in here and have it way worse. You're doing really, really great. No, I wasn't, man. Not at all.
I went through it too, Bert. The exact same thing. I had trepidation for years about getting contacts. My wife's had them forever. And I see how easy it is every day. And she's got the ones you throw away every day.
Yeah, that's the ones that they're training me on.
Yeah, she just pops in new ones every day. And life is great. And she can see. And then I'm over here and I got glasses. Remember the time? And I had multiple pairs of glasses. Remember the time I ate the donuts and I thought I was having a stroke after the show because I had on the wrong glasses and my vision was all blurry. That's been my life. So when I go to contacts, I was like, I'm finally going to try them, and I get them. And yeah, there is definitely some anxiety in putting those things in. But once you get the hang of it, it's like riding a bike. And I wore them for a minute, but I found with work, my glasses, I see better. And it's the same prescription. I don't know what it is, but with glasses, I just see better, so I don't wear the contacts anymore.
I don't know. I know I tried it years and years and years ago with hard lenses, and I specifically remember being so frustrated all these years ago that I literally hit a wall, and Stacey had to, like, calm me down.
Because you couldn't get your contact in?
No, man. I was so frustrated by it. So she said, look, this is going to take a lot of practice and a lot of patience. You just got to chill out. And she could see my anxiety level. And also the history of people telling me that sometimes a contact lens will shift its way around your eyeball and you have to massage it out of the corners of your eyes has me really freaking out. But when I walked out of there, I sincerely couldn't do anything the rest of the day. I was so stressed out.
Abby, I can't wait to hear if you feel the same way. So there's a woman who is feeling stuck in today's economy, and she's blaming it on her relationship status.
Oh, I totally feel her. Like, being single in this economy, it feels like a handicap.
So I saw this on at the Free Press on Instagram. And let's just say she is over it. She looks to be like in her mid-20s.
Uh-huh.
and she is not having it. She is over it. And I just want to know if you agree with her take on her living situation.
I would love to be a stay-at-home mom. I would love to be a homemaker and a wife. I would love to be able to live on a homestead and go milk my cow and take the eggs out of the chicken coop and have one baby in the belly and on my hip and another toddler coming behind me. That's like my dream, but I can't do that because the way the economy is set up is I'm forced to work. I'm forced to get an education, a higher education, a college degree in order to make enough money that I can be financially independent and afford my own home or my own rent or my own gas or my own groceries, my own insurance. And it's extremely difficult to do that. And it's very isolating as a woman when you have to do all of that all on your own and you can't find somebody that you can outsource some of those chores and financial responsibilities like you would with a spouse. So no, being a single working woman absolutely sucks. It's the worst thing ever. I hate it. I would go back to the 1950s in a second just so I wouldn't have to deal with this.
1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746, if you'd like to weigh in, agree or disagree.
I was actually talking to our business manager, Amy, yesterday, and we were complaining about something. She's like, what decade is it? And I'm like, I hope it's 1920s so I can get lobotomized. And I mean that satirically. Obviously, every decade has a series of issues and obviously wouldn't want to go to the back to the 1950s for obvious reasons.
Yes.
However, that woman is mad at somebody, and I don't think it's the free market. Now, do I agree the cost of living nowadays is insane? I mean, my parents were talking to me when I was, you know, kind of talking about my finances and purchasing a home potentially. And they're like, I can't believe you seem like, I'm not definitely not struggling, but they're like, when I was supporting a family of four when I was making what you were making. And I'm like, yeah, but that was 20 years ago. And inflation is just completely different. I mean, gas is like $4 a gallon. I mean, rent is the cost of a mortgage. It's insane. So I get her frustration. And on top of that, having all of the costs that come along with being a single woman, of just beauty upkeep and just the day-to-day maintenance that it takes to exist as a woman. Like, yeah, I feel where she's coming. Do I want to milk a cow? Hell nah. But I understand the exasperation that she has of constantly just feeling the burden of capitalism as a single person. And that goes for men and women. But yeah, it can be really tiresome.
Yeah. So I listened to that and I'm not going to worry about sounding harsh. It just sounds like she's mad she doesn't have a man.
Yeah. That's really what it is. And I think it's tough because I was talking to a friend about this where we have all of these privileges that women have fought for because yes, we need to be equals and we have the same value as men. So we should absolutely have the same responsibilities and expectations. Like I'm with that from a logical perspective, but then there are sometimes you just want to get mad at Susan B. Anthony or whoever the heck. Cause I'm like, you know what? It actually would be nice to stay home. It would be nice to have a little goat in my backyard and just have one responsibility. And that was to look pretty and push out a bunch of kids.
But you can, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So like that, this is what like gets my goat. Feminism exists to create equality. And so you have the choice. You have the choice to be a stay-at-home mom or you have the choice to work. Now, obviously, if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, then you're going to need a man to provide and that's up to you to find. But if that's your life and that's what you want, then kudos. Go for it. Find that man that's going to provide you the stability so you can be a stay-at-home. Now, I will say, you know, this is not black and white. There's a lot of nuance and gray here. Is it hard now to have like a one parent income? Yeah, it kind of is. And even if you have a two parent income, is it ridiculous like childcare? Yeah, like there's definitely issues and problems there. But on the whole, if we're just going like kind of like spitting black and white, I just want people to know feminism didn't exist to force you to work. That's not what feminism is about. Feminism is so you have the choice that if you want to go out there and be a boss lady and break that glass ceiling, by all means. But if you also want to stay home and bust your butt and take care of a house and kids, by all means, do that as well.
I think basically what she's mad at is the cost of getting to have that choice doesn't benefit the choice that she wants to have. Like 50 years ago, life was set up to benefit somebody like her that wants to have that life. Like all women were pretty much expected to only go to college to get your MRS degree and only, you know, work for a couple of years and then meet some dude. So guys were kind of on the same page. Whereas now, because men and women are so much more equal, it's harder to find that life if that's the choice that you want to make. So I think she's frustrated. Like some of us have girl bossed too close to the sun that she feels like it is harder for her to just jump into getting to have that stay at home life.
Hey, Rebecca, disagree or agree?
I agree. I agree. I worked really hard to get where I am in my career. And I'm one of those, I would consider myself a boss, babe, or whatever you call it. And I'm in my early 40s and I'm exhausted. I wish that I could have done something different. I would love to be able to stay at home with my kids and have that time. But no, work is my life.
All right. Hey, Sherry, welcome to the Burt Show. Agree or disagree with what she said?
I disagree with what she said. I mean, honestly, part of the reason that we had feminist movements was also because we couldn't own property. And if you got divorced, you were struggling. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get a job. You couldn't. There were a lot of reasons that feminism occurred. And it wasn't just because you wanted to work. It's because you had to sometimes.
Gotcha. Thank you for calling in. It's one of those, I think the grass is just brown everywhere, Abby.
Oh, it's just exhausting. And I get it, girl. I'm right there with you. You know, we can have our cows one day, but for now, you've got to go pay that rent, pay that mortgage, and get your butt to your 9 to 5.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This week on the Breakup Breakdown, we talked about attachment style theory. And this is the thing that comes up, I feel like, every other week, because it is such an easy way to explain away somebody's behavior. And it's probably going to be one of the first things that a therapist brings up with you in your childhood history, if you're talking about why you do things in a relationship. And this week on my podcast, which is on Burt's Network, the Pioneer Network, the Breakup Breakdown, we talked about how some guy cheated on his girl, which is a tale as old as time. But it's because he had a certain attachment style. And your attachment style has everything to do with how you had a relationship with your caregiver. So if you had a caregiver that was really flighty, you may have an avoidant attachment style. If you had a caregiver that was really good and did everything right and were a gentle parent, then you may have a secure attachment style and you're perfect and you don't need to change anything about your life. But there are so
many. The psychology is psychology-ing.
So I thought it would be really fun to get super therapized today. And while I can't tell you what happened in your childhood to make you the way that you are.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah. You know us pretty well.
Right now, I can possibly help you work backwards by figuring out what your attachment style is with a Tiger Beat style quiz. I'm calling What Happened in Your Childhood That F'd You Up Today?
Oh, I can do this for 4 hours.
Today we are playing for the coveted secure attachment style, meaning you have no problems with relationships whatsoever. But you probably most likely either have an anxious attachment style, an avoidant attachment style, or a fearful avoidant attachment style. Combo Ooh. Meal. Which is
which would can be, I supersize it, please?
Yes, I would like to add some fries to that. So fearful avoidant is also called disorganized attachment style, which is a mix of anxious and avoidant traits. Basically, like you crave love, but you also fear rejection. If you have an avoidant attachment style, you really value independence. You may struggle with emotional closeness. And if you have an attachment style that's more anxious, you may be a stage 5 clinger. So here are the questions that we're going to start with. I have 5 questions that are going to determine what is wrong with you.
Well, just after hearing your descriptions, I know which one I think I am. So it's going to be interesting to hear which one the quiz thinks I am.
Based on what you just said, I've got at least 2 of them.
I have all of them.
Oh, you got like a poo-poo platter.
Yeah.
I have a charcuterie board of attachment style issues. So question number 1. Okay. Put yourself in this position. Mm-hmm. Your partner hasn't replied to your text for hours. What is going through your head? Is it option A? They're probably just busy. No big deal. Is it option B? Are they mad at me? Did I do something wrong? Is it option C? Whatever. I need my space too. Or is it option D? I want to text them again, but I feel like I shouldn't.
I'm my gut says A.
A as well.
You guys are liars.
Seriously, yeah. I would just, yeah.
Well, picture yourself not in the relationships that you're in. Actually, picture yourself in the relationship that you got in before your current partners. Because okay. I do
that's,
think...
That's completely different.
I do feel like that influences, because if I feel like you're going to have a more secure attachment style when you're in a secure relationship. And you guys are in love, which is yes. really annoying. So don't think about texting your partner now. Think about texting your partner from 10 years ago.
Okay, so I kind of checked out after I knew I was going to be A there. So what were the options again?
All right, so again, this is like the first year I dated Bart.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going back 20 years.
I'm going to have to shorten this quiz for y'all.
No, we got it.
Okay. A, they probably are just busy. No big deal. B, are they mad at me? Did I do something wrong? C, whatever. I need my space too. D, I want to text them again, but I also feel like I shouldn't.
B.
B.
B. Okay. We got two B's. Question two, how do you feel about expressing your needs in a relationship? A, I'm comfortable sharing and expect my partner to do the same. B, I worry that I'll sound needy, but I'll still do it. C, I don't like to rely on others too much. Or D, I want to express my needs, but I fear rejection.
Now A, then C.
D.
Okay, so we have two B's, a C, and a D. Question three, your partner wants to have a serious talk about the future. How do you feel? A, that sounds great. I like open discussions. B, what if they don't want the same things as me? C, do we have to? Feels like pressure. D, I'm interested, but I'm also afraid of getting hurt.
C.
A now, D then.
D then. Okay. Question four. When a relationship ends, what's your usual reaction? A, I feel sad, but I know I'll heal in time. B, I struggle to move on and keep thinking about what went wrong. C, I detach quickly and move on. D, I feel torn. I want closeness, but I also push people away.
B.
I got a combo there, C and D.
Okay. All right, question five. This is the final one. How do you handle conflict in relationships? A, I try to listen and find a solution together. We get it. It's A now. B, I get really anxious and fear my partner will leave me. C, I shut down and I withdraw to avoid arguments. And D, I go back and forth between pushing them away and clinging to them.
C.
A now, B, and C before.
Okay. I feel like you guys had the most amount of C's. I feel like you had C for most of them except for a couple.
I had two B's, two C's, and a D.
Okay. So you had a combination of B's and C's, which makes me think that you are fearful avoidant because that is anxious and avoidant. So you fear attachment, but you also, you like need to avoid conflict. Mm-hmm. And you had more C's, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're avoidant. So Bert, you value your independence and you might feel uncomfortable with too much emotional closeness, often keeping people at arm's length.
Yeah, I think.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I think so.
And Kristen, you have fearful avoidant, which means you desire connection, but you also fear getting hurt, leading to mixed signals in relationships.
Facts.
So that means you still have to go to therapy, huh? Yeah. But if you want to hear some real world examples of how those can really F up your relationships, you can head to the Breakup Breakdown, wherever you get your podcast, because it's on the Pioneer Network.
All right, you can.
Wait a second. Whoa. What are you? Did you take the quiz?
Yeah, but this ain't about me.
Oh, get out of here, Abigail.
I'm secure facing, but deep down, I'm really messed up.
All right, Katie. So you got yourself this lady here, and you're wondering if you're too competitive?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Which really means like I know that I'm too competitive.
I know I'm a competitive person. I've always been a competitive person, so much so that my friends do not want to do an escape room with me ever again because I take it serious. Like, we did it for my birthday once, and I acted like if it was like do or die that we really had to get out this room, you would have thought we were really trapped. And like, Katie, you took the fun out of it because I was too competitive. So I've tried to listen to that feedback and dial it back and not be as competitive. And remember that it's just all fun. Yay. So my girlfriend was in town for a couple of weeks and she had her daughter with her. And so we're trying to figure out, you know, what can we do to entertain a 12-year-old? She's on summer vacation and get her off the iPad. What is the best thing? So we decided to go to this VR place. It's called Sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
And basically there you can pick like different types of games and you're immersed in this VR world. You have the vest. You feel like you're actually in the game. And her daughter was like, I know which one I want to do. I have to do the Squid Game one.
And again, how old is her daughter?
12.
Okay. Like it's a very sensitive time in a girl's life. Things are good. Things can pivot quickly.
And for people who may not be familiar with Squid Game on Netflix, that's pretty intense.
For a 12-year-old.
Like over here thinking like, yeah, it's like, how do I explain the show? If you haven't seen the show, it's basically like a fight to the death. Only one person can survive all these different games.
It's a game show. And if you lose the round, then you die.
Yeah. Right. Or how many squids are involved? That's my question. As someone who has never seen the show.
There are no squids.
None at all. It's humans.
Disappointing.
So she really loves the show. And she's like, we're going to play this and it's going to be great. And she's talking about it the night before. She is so excited. She's like, this is going to be great. I'm going to have a great time. I'm pushing people. I'm like, why are you? No, you're not supposed to push people. And it's just going to be us three playing. She's like, it's okay. I'm going fighting to the death for this. And I'm like, oh. Okay. You want to fight to the death for this.
Come on now.
Okay, so I'm like, if she thinks that she can beat us at this game, I'm going to have to prove her wrong here. So in this game, for the virtual one, you have the option to work as a team or you can work on your own. And they gave us like 10 different challenges that you have to complete. And one of the challenges is like stepping on a square. There's different shapes and you have to figure out which one is the one to stand on and all the others will fall. Mm-hmm. And it'll simulate like you're falling down. So I had the option to do this as a family and we all, you know, do points. Or take that little girl down. And my goal was to take her down.
It's alpha doggy time. It's alpha doggy
time. So we started off nice. Red light, green light was like the first game. And I'm like, okay, this is easy. You have to get the coin. And you have to get the coin, put the coins in the bucket. And you get points for that. And red light, green light, if you stop on, move on red, you're eliminated. That starts off fine. But then it gets to the shapes. And they say, they're like, tell your partner which square is going to go down or keep it to yourself and you get more points. And so I see it and I know what shape is going down and they're yelling stuff because I can see them. And I went over and she was on my square that wasn't going down.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, y'all. I pushed her over trying.
Hey, this is America, man.
It was getting to a close game because each round it would show the points.
Hey, she was like, she's 12.
She was 10 points ahead of me. I couldn't lose.
I get it, man.
I pushed her and she fell down and I won by 10 points. I had to prove something.
No, we got to know. So you did that. I'm not even concerned what she did, but what did her mother say to you?
She didn't really know what to say. She was just like, Katie.
I don't know whether to be proud of you or to break up with you.
I'm like, she had to go down.
I'm going
to
bring this back up later on in the show because this is always a great topic. Like, do you allow your kids to win if they are younger, or do they have to earn their win at all costs?
It's building character.
This isn't about letting, it's not like they were playing chutes and ladders.
Doesn't matter.
She pushed her.
Doesn't matter.
It was all her death.
It was all about the win.
What is wrong with you?
The Burt Show.
Tell me your most unhinged way that you practice microfeminism in your life. I'm not talking about assuming the doctor is a woman. Give me insane one, thanks. So this has been a new trend of people just posting a video of themselves asking for like good drama, good tea, like they want the unhinged of the internet, right? And I started reading through the comments and ladies, these are friggin' brilliant.
Really?
Yes. And they're just, they're so good. So again, she's requesting, tell me your most unhinged way that you practice microfeminism in your life. I'm not talking about assuming the doctor is a woman. Give me insane ones. Thanks. So here we go. Your first one. I'm a school nurse. If a kid is sick and needs to be picked up and both parents are listed, I always call the dad first.
Oh, really?
Again, a little bit of microfeminism. When a man asks me if I'm done with something at the gym, I say, sure. Do you want me to lower the weight? another comment. We play cards with the queen being the highest value.
Oh.
Again, just a little twist. For the last 10 years, I've been taking my, this one's brilliant. For the last 10 years, I've been taking my kid to exclusively women professionals. He now thinks all doctors, dentists, stylists, et cetera, are women by fault.
That's kind of amazing.
And that one has almost 160,000 likes.
Just the comment or the video?
The comment.
You're kidding.
That comment alone. All right. So if you have any of these micro feminism takes, 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8745. All right, scrolling again through the comments.
8746.
8746. Thank you very much. I don't know why I did that. All right, because I was looking at the numbers on the Instagram. That's why. All right, so the next comment. I love calling guys who have businesses male entrepreneurs and boss boys. Literally whenever I can.
Yeah, honestly, when somebody pointed out the fact that girl boss was kind of a problematic saying, it's like, why do you have to say that you're a girl boss? Why can't you just be a boss? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Saying, I know you're very emotional right now, but let's try to focus on the facts. When a business debate gets heated with a male colleague, they love that.
Oh, oh my no. God. I'm not going to lie. I have definitely whipped out the calm down from time to time. Before they can, like, calm down. Let's talk about this rationally.
That one has 136,000 likes, by the way. Wow. This one has really struck a chord with people. Elementary school teacher here. When I need something heavy moved, I always say, oh, gosh, this is so heavy. Girls, can you help me?
No, don't put me on down for that. That sounds like a lot of work. Like, you know, when we moved Bert's bike out of here, I was like, surely Mo's got to be around.
All right, next. I don't move to the side. If a man is walking toward me on a sidewalk, he has to move first.
Oh, I do that every single time I go out for a walk. And it's always couples. They never move to the side. I'm like, I'm not getting in the street. I'm not going to be single and getting hit by a car.
All right, again, this is from her first 100K on Instagram. Tell me your most unhinged way that you practice microfeminism in your life. When people notice my husband and I have different last names, I say he kept his name when we got married.
Oh.
I introduce female friends by their accomplishments and men by their hobbies. I'm a commercial airline pilot, and whenever I see young girls on board, I ask if they want to come and see the flight deck and say hi, hoping to inspire more girls to become pilots. Next one. I assume all dogs are girl dogs in public, and when men correct me angrily, I go, huh, I was getting major feminine vibes.
Oh, no. I'm wondering if some of this feels a little belittling to men, though. Like, is that the point, that it's supposed to be a little condescending because women have been condescended to?
But why is it condescending? I see what you're saying, but why is it condescending to say feminine vibes?
Well, I think because you know it's going to bother them.
Right, but it shouldn't. That's the thing. I think that's what it is. It's really to highlight the absurdity of these reactions. And there's a guy on TikTok, I think his name is Kyle Prue, who's written a book of insults to tell men.
Oh, yeah.
But they're
not
insults. They're just stuff like literally like this. And it's brilliant because it really turns the narrative on its head to showcase how absurd it is. And I remember when I did my wedding invites, if I was friends with the woman, her name went first and not the man's name. And I remember hesitating while doing it because I'm like, this is not appropriate decorum. Then I was like, you know what? I don't care because I'm friends with the woman, and it's ridiculous that it should be like Mr. and Mrs. last name when I've known her for like a decade. And so I think sometimes some of these are poking the bear on purpose, but sometimes I think it's just flipping the narrative on its head.
And this comment goes along the lines of when you were addressing your wedding invites. In emails to men and women, I always put the woman's name first instead of defaulting to putting the man's name. My daughter met one of my male coworkers when she was little, and she turned to me and said, Mom, I didn't know boys could be doctors too. I like to ask men after I notice them chatting together, what's the hot goss?
Oh, I love doing that. Or I love calling guys diva. I'm like, hey, diva.
They discuss people in petty S more than we do. Call it out. It's gossip. I like to say this is woman's name and then her husband when introducing couples rather than introducing the man first. Women subconsciously will move out of the way if a man is walking directly in their path. So I like to assert my dominance by not moving out of the way and maintaining a strong presence. And which is what we just had mentioned before.
As long as I'm on the right side of the road, I am not moving.
All right. So yeah, so we'll share the link, and it just goes on for days, but I understand, the debate as far as, are you trying to upset somebody? But some of these like Cassie said, shouldn't be upsetting.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree. Some of them shouldn't be upsetting, but like, I guess asking a guy if I need to lower the weight for him, I know it feels little bit like a jab. Whereas assuming a doctor is a woman, I'm like, yeah, that is a good piece of microfeminism to assume that somebody in power is a woman.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.